Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Kendall Whittier Incorporated, an organization devoted to fighting hunger in its neighborhood boundaries, is celebrating its 50th anniversary this evening. The organization was created in 1968 in response to two devastating events on the neighborhood. The first was the construction of I-244 through the very heart of the neighborhood, bisecting Kendall from Whittier. And the second was a zoning decision by the city to move from single-family dwellings in part of the neighborhood to multifamily use. Cheap apartment housing popped up on former single home sites, and over the years attracted a population in poverty and vulnerable to crime and drug use. Over the years, Kendall Whittier, Inc. provided tutoring services, transportation co-ops, summer youth programs, and emergency aid for the neighborhood. Today, the focus is on food security, where they operate a delivery emergency food pantry and host a number of community food gardens. And on its 50th anniversary, it's expanding its footprint to serve adjacent neighborhoods in Midtown. I'm joined by the executive director of Kendall Whittier Incorporated, Lori Dechter Wright, and Terry Michael, the president of the board, as Kendall Whittier Incorporated celebrated its 50th anniversary this evening with a reception at 5:30 at Circle Cinema. They're my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Lori and Terry, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yes, very much. Thank
and
you.
And congratulations on the 50th anniversary of Kendall Whittier Incorporated. Lori, let me ask you, this organization started 50 years ago.
That's right.
That's 1969, and I'm trying to think about what the Kendall Whittier neighborhood looked like in 1969, because at that point, I think it was probably, a very nice neighborhood.
Right.
It was sort of like the first suburb of Tulsa.
It was the shopping district. On the weekends, folks would come and get their hardware and their hair done and come to the movies and do all the weekend stuff that now is happening more in Midtown and South. But back before the 60s, this was the destination to be in.
And the organization started really in reaction to a major event that has had an enduring impact
yes.
on the neighborhood, and that is
well, what? When 244 was put in, it basically divided the neighborhood in half and became a physical barrier and then a socioeconomic one. And so in the summer of 1968, a coalition of churches in the neighborhood decided to get around a table and say, let's coordinate our services for folks in the neighborhood and not duplicate efforts. So that was the beginning of our organization. It was Kendall Whittier Ministries, and it was an ecumenical ministry coalition. And it started with after-school programming and Meals on Wheels and all those kinds of things. And we've just morphed over these 50 years.
Yeah. And, of course, the Kendall and Whittier were really the focus of those names were two elementary schools.
Right.
Which no longer exist,
right.
except as the Kendall Whittier.
A hybrid now.
Yeah,
right.
A hybrid. But the Kendall Elementary was like on Delaware around 7th or 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And Whittier was just north of Admiral.
Right. So, you know, when you divide a community, it's going to lead to other division, and it just slowly deteriorated over the decades. And yeah. I think in the peak of maybe the 70s, this was not necessarily a destination that you wanted to be in day or night.
I would think back to the early mid-70s and 80s, at least the Kendall part of the neighborhood became almost like satellite housing for the University of Tulsa because the enrollment was higher. It was more of a commuter school, and kids would get apartments, and all the apartments of which there are a number that remain in that area. I think a lot of those were built during that era
sure.
to serve student housings. When the university became more of a residential campus, that housing stock changed, and all of a sudden it provided housing for lower socioeconomic groups, but also that brought in also a range of issues within
sure.
the neighborhood.
Sure. So the neighborhood shifted from kind of this shopping district, university area into a more working class, lower income neighborhood. Now, you know, we have a higher immigrant population here, which we actively serve. Yeah. And it's part of the vibrancy and the fabric of what this neighborhood is. But it brings challenges.
Yeah. And it's actually, in recent years, because of investment, you're seeing the neighborhood change once again.
Yes. I would say in the last 5 years, there's been a real shift, a real intentional investment in housing and bringing businesses back and providing more opportunities for the youth in the neighborhood, cleaning up the park. So anyone who's been here has kind of seen this renaissance happening. Of course, the clients that we serve are sometimes forgotten in that process, and we just want to make sure that we're advocating for them and reminding folks that the people that were here in the 70s and 80s and 90s are still here.
Yeah. And for those who are not familiar with the neighborhood, if you live out south or maybe outside the city, The Kendall Whittier neighborhood is what area, actually? It's 11th Street
on the south? It's 11th on the south up to Dawson Road on the north, which is like along the railroad tracks. And then we say Harvard over to Utica, mm-hmm. kind of defines the neighborhood.
And over the course of this 50 years, you've been expanding your services over, you know, started out as a church outreach, mm-hmm. Meals on Wheels, and now you're right. You're doing all sorts of things. Give us a range of what yes. Kendall Whittier does.
So in 2011, we became Kendall Whittier Incorporated. We dropped the ministry piece of it. We still are supported by four of the founding churches in the neighborhood. So that would be University United Methodist, College Hill Presbyterian, Grace Lutheran, and St. Francis Xavier. The University of Tulsa is our fifth component partner. And that means that they provide financial support, volunteer support, donations in kind, space. We also receive donations from churches across the city who really believe in our mission. And over the years, we have evolved. We were doing an after-school program. Now TU has taken that on and grown it. We're still providing some garden education and nutrition and health and wellness education to those students. We're primarily focused on food insecurity in the neighborhood. Kendall Whittier is really rich with nonprofit service agencies, and we think it's wonderful, and we want to make sure that we're not duplicating efforts, that we're partnering rather than overlapping services. So in 2011, we really narrowed our focus onto food insecurity. We operate the only emergency pantry that delivers groceries to doorsteps in Tulsa. So there's a lot of food pantries, but that means the clients have to get to them to receive groceries. So we think we have a unique business model, and we find that we're able to serve clients who otherwise might fall in a gap because yeah. they need to keep their job, they need to keep going to school, and that makes it hard to go wait in line to receive groceries.
Let me turn to Terry Michael. You're the president of the board. Give us a sense of how you got involved with the organization and what's most impressed you that made you want to be a part of this organization.
Well, I met Lori about 2 years ago in a theater production we were in together. And I had absolutely no idea this organization even existed.
Now, you teach at the University of Tulsa adjunct at the
Correct.
Law school.
I'm a professor, adjunct professor of law, and then I have a day job elsewhere, a small day job. But I didn't even know this organization existed. And Lori told me about the organization and what they did and the needs they met. And Lori is also one of the jobs of the executive director is board recruitment. And Lori's very persuasive. And so I came to a meeting and became interested in the project, and then volunteered, packed groceries, took deliveries, went and picked up the groceries that we get from the community food bank and brought them in. And once you start to see the need and the people you're serving, it's very compelling. I do agree with Lori. I think it's a wonderful business model because there are folks that, for whatever reason, they're disabled, they have small children, they can't stand in line for 2 or 3 hours or whatever it takes to get food. And this idea of getting the food to them. And the other thing that really moves me when I do make deliveries is we don't just deliver food. A lot of these folks, some of them are shut-ins. Lori can give you the percentages on how many are disabled and how many have small children. And they're looking for a smile. They're looking for a little respect and human contact. And that part of it is so rewarding to me. And when I've recruited other people to go with me and go on deliveries, and they see that, I get a lot more than I give.
Yeah, I would imagine that's the case. And just seeing the impact, a smiling person coming to your door, delivering, whether it's groceries or just chatting for a few minutes, it makes a big difference.
It really does. And when you see some of these families, the first time I delivered, one of my first deliveries was to a single mom with 3 kids under the age of 10. And they were all so excited and appreciative and grateful. And you think, these people are in an emergency situation, and without this service, where would they be?
Yeah. Give us a sense of what the composition of the neighborhood is today, as Terry was mentioning. How many are elderly? How many? I would think there's still a number of elderly homeowners that have
right.
that have seen the ups and downs of the
Absolutely.
Neighborhood.
There's I don't know the specific demographics of the neighborhood breakdown. There's about 15,000 residents in Kendall Whittier right now, and we're serving probably 10% of the population. In Oklahoma, food insecurity is an issue across the state. 1 in 6 are food insecure, and that's about 1 in 4 children. And so in this neighborhood, we find that it's about 1 in 4 are food insecure and 1 in 3 are children. 44% of our recipients are children under the age of 18. And as Terry said, we have about 70%, at least one person in the household is disabled. And about 16% of our clients are seniors. So We know that there are families that have been here a long time. Maybe they've inherited their home. And then there's a lot of rental properties still that are accommodating, you know, young families that are in Kendall Whittier School or Sequoia Elementary School or going to Crosstown Learning or Educare. And then we've also found that the shift is we have a high Hispanic immigrant population. And so in 2013, we saw that our demographics were not reflecting the neighborhood. And we brought in a Hispanic liaison, and that has been great. She lives in the neighborhood. Her children go to school here. And so she's just a friendly face in the neighborhood. And her grocery program, we do a once-a-week pickup. So she works full-time for the TPS, and it just works better for that client population to have a pickup point, usually one of our churches, and we do the intake the same way. And then our main pantry deliveries are, you know, 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year, almost 100% volunteer. We have five part-time staff members, so everything is really relying on staff and faculty at TU, students at TU that volunteer, and then our churches.
Now you also have a community, several community gardens, right?
We do. We have
is three. Is that like sort of you work, you can pick produce, or is it providing food for the pantry?
So our first community garden is 11 years old now, and it is basically an outdoor classroom for the students at Kendall Whittier Elementary School who participate in TU's youth mentoring program. That's an after-school program that we started and transferred over to TU because they had more capacity. They're serving 150 of the most at-risk students in Kendall Whittier Elementary, which is the largest public elementary school in Tulsa, with a lot of need. And they have a waiting list of 150 students. So those students come over to our garden, the Grow Teaching Gardens on Fifth Place across from Educare, down the street from the school. They come after school with the youth mentoring program, and they are guided by our garden coordinator on everything from planting to harvesting to composting, and they're learning how to grow organically and to understand the concepts they're learning in the classroom, the science and the math, and even, I would say, social skills, language arts. And a lot of these children are food insecure. So if they see corn, it's coming out of a can. And so when they see it growing in a garden and they get to harvest it and take it home, they're very proud of that, and they get to share what they've done. Mm-hmm. So that's our kind of shining crown jewel of our garden program. In 2015, we inherited a little piece of land about a block and a half from the library on First Street between Gillette and Zunis. It was blighted. You know, everyone had dumped their trash there, and it was hard to see the potential in that donation at the time, but it's a thriving garden now. It's called the Tipton Community Garden. It's named after the family that donated it to us. The woman who inherited it lives in New Mexico. She inherited it from her grandmother. It had a property on it, but it doesn't now. And due to new zoning restrictions, it couldn't be built on. And her only caveat was that we grow foods and flowers because that's what her grandma, that's what she remembers about that home. Mm-hmm. So we fenced it. We put city, you know, free is not free. Here's a free piece of land. So we had to clean it up, put fencing on it, get city water out there. And now it's a thriving garden where people do adopt plots by the year. We have 28 raised beds.
So you actually have families or
anyone in the neighborhood who wants
community
to.
Members that wants to have a little small plot so they can grow vegetables.
And we have a young man, Joseph Mason, who's an agricultural student at TCC, coordinating our garden as a volunteer. He's doing great work, very knowledgeable, very passionate. They get out there, they garden together, they share food. They're actually this Saturday trying to go to the Kendall Whittier Mercado to distribute some extra produce that they have right now. We don't typically distribute through our pantry because we tend to have the people that are gardening take the food. In the rare case that we have extra yield, we will try to distribute through the pantry.
My guests today are Lori Dr. Wright, the executive director of Kendall Whittier Incorporated, and Terry Michael, the president of the board. As Kendall Whittier Incorporated is celebrating its 50th anniversary with a reception that'll take place this evening from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Circle Cinema. And they're also announcing the growth of Kendall Whittier. So tell us a little about this growth plan.
Sure.
You know, as I said, this neighborhood is constantly evolving, and you've had significant investments in portions of the community. I think there's going to be more investments in the future in the Whittier side of the neighborhood very soon.
Right.
And so Habitat for Humanity, they're going to be building a lot of apartments and single homes in that neighborhood as well. So with that expansion, so tell us a little bit about this expansion.
Right. So as Terry mentioned earlier, I've been actively recruiting board members because we knew we were coming into this 50th year and we wanted to look back at all that we've done and where are we going? Because I think if you don't have a growth mindset, you know, it would be nice to say we have no more work to do, but we know there's more work to do. So one of our strategic plan items was for our organization to focus on the north side of the neighborhood, the Whittier side. And that started with really reaching out to Sequoia Elementary School. We put a garden in there. They had a fallow garden. And so 2 years ago, I approached them about, let us provide the funding and you provide the infrastructure, because they had a teacher doing it out of her pocket, which we know they don't really have extra funds to put back into the school.
That's what they do.
Yeah. So Diana Potts is the site administrator and she's our garden coordinator up there. And so that started us thinking about more about expanding our services or just reaching into the parts of the neighborhood we weren't touching. And then the board really had this idea of, you know, where are the needs?
Tell us about the thinking of the board. Tell us about the thinking of the board, if you would.
Well, my thought process and the board's is, with any organization, you need to be growing. And as the traditional area we've served has seen growth and benefit, that doesn't mean the need has disappeared by any stretch of the imagination.
Moved.
The need
mm-hmm.
has simply moved. And we knew we had the capacity to meet the need, and we had a very enthusiastic board that, like me, I mean, when you come in and learn this model is so unique and meets needs that otherwise can't be met. It needed to grow. And so the board is very excited about what we're doing. The volunteers that are making the deliveries are very happy to see this expansion. And there are people that need to, the need needs to be met, and the model fits it so well that it's just a natural thing.
So we're just headed west, basically. We used to kind of stop at Utica. So we looked at the map and said, well, let's go over to Highway 75 and just include the Pearl, and let's look north and include Crutchfield, which is very underserved right now. I mean,
right.
I wouldn't say it's officially a food desert, but it's got challenges for folks.
It does, but it also there's increased scrutiny on the area of trying to change the neighborhood as well in both of those neighborhoods. So you're going to continue to serve those as well, or try to serve those
so
as well.
So for many, many years, we've done what we call one-time out-of-area deliveries because we don't like to say no. I mean, the stories you get are very compelling. And so when somebody's reaching out and saying, I need food, we try to find a way to get it to them. But we are heavily relying on volunteers, and they pack groceries. Our pantry's located near TU. So you figure the further north, it's going to, if they have an hour, you know, the further our footprint goes, it stresses those volunteers. So we've had to recruit volunteers and find a second layer of folks that are willing to make those extra drives. And then we just looked at the demographics and thought, this is a way we can grow strategically and in a smart way, not too fast. Ideally, someday, I mean, we've had big visioning plans of having satellite churches or organizations that would help us implement the model even further, because we know, as much as Tulsa is growing and thriving, there are pockets where people still struggle to put food on the table, either because of access or because of lack of income.
And of course, as you both know, that when one neighborhood gentrifies, generally what happens is there's another neighborhood that experiences the symptoms.
Absorbs.
Yeah,
correct.
Absorbs.
The need doesn't disappear. It just moves.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Well, in both of those neighborhoods, you have some Crutchfield's beginning, but in the Pearl, it's been focused for a number of years of trying to change that neighborhood as well.
Right.
So are you getting involved with those organizations that are already at work to help expand your mission?
One of the things I do as executive director is I sit on an NCOG task force, and we get different agencies around the table to kind of coordinate what we're doing. We've had folks from the Pearl reach out to us specifically about community gardening. I've gotten a lot of calls also from the north side of neighborhoods that want to do that. I've had Tulsa Housing Authority visit our gardens and see what we're doing. And it's a low amount of financial investment to get a community garden going. What you really need is that human investment of people who really want to be out there, especially in 90-degree heat, you know, to grow tomatoes and corn and things. But they also get the rewards of that and feel empowered. So we know that the Pearl is growing with a lot of businesses, but there's still little neighborhoods tucked here and there with a lot of seniors, a lot of disabled folks. We serve veterans. We serve, you name it, we serve it. We serve teachers. During the walkout, we serve 70 families, TPS families, over 3 weeks. We knew that they don't necessarily live in the neighborhood if they teach in the neighborhood, but we wanted to make sure that we were providing for their needs. So partnering with schools in the expansion area, I think, will also lead to maybe new community gardens, new opportunities to serve them beyond just food.
Yeah. My guest today, Lori Dechter-Wright, Executive Director of Kendall Whittier Incorporated, Terry Michael, President of the Board, as they celebrate their 50th anniversary. It'll be a reception this evening from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Circle Cinema, and they're talking about the expanding plans of the organization. Let's talk about the neighborhood today, because as both of you were mentioning, you've seen some significant investment in at least the Kendall portion of the neighborhood and some parts of the Whittier neighborhood as well. And when I hear talk about how this investment is, there's a real consciousness of trying to avoid gentrification and just pushing lower socioeconomic groups mm-hmm. out of the neighborhood, right. A real work towards having mixed income neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
How important is that to the neighborhood, and are we getting there? I think it's very difficult.
I think it's crucial. So TU is obviously an anchor institution, and we want to make sure that the students that attend that school feel like they're having an urban collegiate experience and feel safe. We want those families to feel safe sending their students here. We want the families who have settled here because they've immigrated to feel welcome. And I think that the Hispanic culture and flavor of the neighborhood is shining through in
yes,
a really positive way. The restaurants and just the activities that are going on, I think, are really positive and something that we should celebrate for sure. And then I think we're kind of an artist enclave, which is very attractive. And certainly artists are not, you know, necessarily high income earners. So I think keeping it
welcoming. But they add flavor to the neighborhood.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, they add their own.
I think it needs to stay.
It's a vibrant part of a neighborhood.
It needs to stay diverse enough to keep those folks in the neighborhood. We've become kind of a brewery destination recently, which is great. Heirloom Rustic Ales, right when they opened around Thanksgiving, made us a charity one night. And for every pint they sold, they gave us a dollar. It's been great. We're working.
And my family really helped.
Yes. we try to partner with the restaurants to get compostables, a 918 mm-hmm. coffee, and Farrah Fellow donated coffee grounds for our compost bins and stuff. And so I just think it's important that those who are investing here realize that the diversity is part of what makes our neighborhood attractive. And I think when you look at like George Kaiser Family Foundation, they've been very intentional. They also support our organization.
Sure.
And so they understand the folks that live here and that they're serving. They're very active with TU. They're very active with the schools. And so as long as in Capitol Homes, it's coming in and Habitat for Humanity, I think everyone's trying to be very aware of improving the neighborhood without homogenizing it.
Right. Is there a sense that people are being pushed out, though, at this point?
Well, if you just look on Zillow, you can see the housing around here as new homes go in or people come in and flip homes. Rents have gone up. The clients that we serve are living on less than $1,000 a month.
And there's been a lot of rental housing that has been lost.
Right. And when you take out an apartment unit of 10 units that may be rented for $300 or $400, that's 10 families you're displacing when you put in a $260,000 home. And so that's just the reality of it.
Uh-huh. But I also know that the Pearl District, since you're expanding the Pearl District, they've also had this intentionality of having a number of mixed income residents within their community. And they want to, and you know, certain cities do that really well, mm-hmm. and certain cities historically haven't. And I don't think Tulsa has historically been one of those cities. So you're really kind of, you're trying to buck the culture of the community in a way, wouldn't you say?
I think that's a fair observation. One thing I think has really helped us and helped the Kendall Whittier community is the level to which the merchants and the business part of the community has embraced this economic diversity. And they've certainly, as they've learned about what we do, embraced us, I think, mm-hmm. And our mission. It's a unique, fun place to be. Mm-hmm. What is it, the Thursday night things they do once?
Oh,
there's a lot of activities that make that neighborhood
so Kendall,
exciting.
So Kendall Whittier Main Street is one of the dynamic organizations, and we partner with them on lots of different projects, and they're good friends to us. And, you know, they've really brought in the Saturday market and the art crawl and, you know, where you're bringing folks from outside the neighborhood in to spend their money, you know, and folks want to go to Circle Cinema now for a date night. And, oh, let's go to Calaveras and have tacos beforehand. And then let's go grab a drink at one of the bars or, you know, it's a destination now. And it's giving people who live outside the neighborhood a place to come and experience and spend their money and maybe want to invest as entrepreneurs themselves. There's lots of small businesses moving in.
Do you see the overall residents of the neighborhood participating in it, though, as well?
Yes, I think I would say growing together, which is, you know, under George Kaiser Family Foundation is really intentional. All of their community events are bilingual. It's very important to them and very inclusive. I think Kendall Whittier Main Street has done the same. I think I've really seen intentionality in that way. There's longtime residents who've lived here that go to church here, and so they see it too. And then we're always going to have, as long as there's lower income housing, we're always going to have the folks that are just passing through, you know? Yeah. And so they're here too, and we need to make sure that we are including everyone. And I think we're striving. I think people around the table know it needs to be done. Are we succeeding? I guess it depends what side of the debate you're on. It's something we talk about as leaders in the neighborhood a lot, and just to be mindful and make sure that when decisions are being made, folks can air their opinions. I know there was a lot of Tulsa redevelopment sector planning going on, and we had community meetings and made sure they were bilingual and made sure business folks were at the table saying what they needed, talking about lighting and access. And, you know, the Center for Individuals with Physical Disabilities is in the neighborhood, you know, make sure that there's ramps so people can travel and get through the neighborhood comfortably.
Yeah.
So I think they've also been intentional with not necessarily having like the big box franchises come in. So I think that is a positive for the neighborhood. And I think as long as everyone is included in the conversation, we have the best chance. And maybe we can be a model for the Pearl, and Crutchfield, I think, has now a sector plan going on. And, you know, it's a vibrant, vibrant part of the city, and we certainly don't want to lose that flavor.
Well, congratulations on 50 years of service to the community. And what's the timeline for actually incorporating the Pearl and Crutchfield neighborhoods into your usual routines?
Right. So we operate on a July 1 fiscal year. So July 1st, we'll start expanding those services. We're pretty much word of mouth. And so we appreciate opportunities like this to get our message out. In the fall, I'll be reaching out to the elementary schools that are in the neighborhoods that we'll be serving. We send flyers and we make sure their social workers and their counselors know, because we're listed with 211. But a lot of folks, when they're in that emergency need, I've lost a job or I've had a health crisis, they know they need food, they don't know where to get it, you're in a panic. And so you really hope that the community resources, churches, the library,
neighbors,
Community Health Connection, neighbors can say, hey, here's the number to call. Leave a message. They'll call you back. They'll make a time. And a friendly face will show up on your door with some groceries for the week.
All right. Sounds on great. More than one occasion, making a food delivery, I've handed cards to neighbors. Just like,
yeah,
we can get food? Wow, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
And we are an emergency pantry, so we respond in times of crisis. And I really appreciate this opportunity, because you asked me one thing. We're a best-kept secret in town. And when people find out about who we are and what we do, the support's been overwhelming. And that's why I think there's so much potential for growth and expansion. He said, making the executive director very nervous. and taking this model to other parts of the city, because the need is there. And once people hear about what we do, they're very supportive. It's very exciting.
Well, Lori and Terry, thanks very much for joining us, and congratulations on the 50th anniversary.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Lori Dechter-Wright is the executive director of Kendall Whittier Incorporated. Terry Michael is the president of the board. Kendall Whittier Incorporated will be celebrating its 50th anniversary with a reception this evening, tonight at 5:30 at Circle Cinema. For more information on the organization, visit kendallwhittierinc.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.